All those feet and squeals and noises and laughter. That's a good sound. Amen. I love to hear the sound of the children in the house. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That song says, bless the Lord, O my soul. The psalmist said, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Hallelujah. How many come to bless him today? The psalmist was speaking to himself. He said, soul, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for the power of God. Hallelujah. I mean, in the presence of the Lord, there's change that comes in every one of us. In every one of us. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the chains broken in my life. I'm thankful for the touch of God, the encounter of his presence when we come into his house and the richness of his presence. Somebody just lift your hands and give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. We celebrate that. We celebrate that this morning. We celebrate chains being broken. I celebrate lives being changed. I celebrate families being touched. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord. Anybody else need some chains broken this morning? Anybody got some family that needs some chains broken? Go ahead and reach up there and receive it this morning. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for lives being touched, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't come to play church. I'm serious. Amen. I'm serious about this stuff because I believe it works. Hallelujah. I had to remind myself a lot of times, if you're going to preach it, you're going to have to live it. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't believe the Lord speaks to you. I don't believe he gives us prophetic words. I don't believe he speaks into our spirit just to give conversation. I believe when he says it, he means it. You can go to the bank to it. And I believe God has prophetically spoke some things over our house just in the last month. And when he began to say our sons are coming back, our families are coming back, and God's about to rebuild some city walls and restore some temples, and it looks like it might be tore up right now. Come on, somebody. Sometimes it looks like it's the worst before it's going to get better. Hallelujah. It's always darkest before, you know, in the storm, and it seems like everything always is worse to a point. Hallelujah. But daylight begins to break forth. How many know weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning? Hallelujah. How many are ready for some rejoicing and some joy and some tears to be wiped away? Hallelujah. The scripture says he will wipe away the tears from our eyes. I don't believe that some glad morning when this life is o'er. I believe he can wipe away the tears from our eyes right here, right now, in his presence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I celebrate his touch. I celebrate. Hallelujah. We don't come here because we're perfect in everything that we know or do. Amen. I realize we're perfect in him. He has made us righteous in him. But how many know sometimes I need a little bit of attitude adjustment? Sometimes I need my faith stirred up. Sometimes I need to come together with people who believe the same thing I do and say, I still believe it no matter what I see, no matter what circumstances look like, I still believe it. Hallelujah. Can somebody say, I still believe it this morning? I still believe it. Hallelujah. His word is true and his word is faithful to us. Hallelujah. You know, I was thinking earlier, God is not changed by our circumstances. We are. We are the only one that allows circumstances to change us. And we choose whether we want those circumstances to change us for the better or for the worse. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes you got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Anybody ever been sick and tired of being sick and tired? Hallelujah. And all of a sudden you find you got a little fight in you and say, you know what? I'm not going down. Hallelujah. Can somebody say, I'm still standing? I'm still standing. Hallelujah. I'm still standing. Hallelujah. I'm not giving up my seat, Pastor Shirley says. Hallelujah. She preached a message on not giving up your seat. How many know we are seated with him, what? In heavenly places. And there's a whole lot of things that want to take us out of our heavenly places sometimes. Amen? Hallelujah. And sometimes it's the greatest war of our mind to allow the enemy to bring us down to a level where we lose focus on heavenly places. But the scripture says, I'm seated with him. Hallelujah. And Pastor Shirley says she's not giving up her seat. Hallelujah. I'm not giving up my seat. I'm not coming from the positive to the negative. Hallelujah. I mean, Rosa Parks decided one day, you know what? I'm not giving up my seat. She was asked to get up and go to the back of the bus. She said, but today I'm not giving up my seat. I mean, she started a revolution. Hallelujah. You never know that when you stand up to circumstances and situations in your life, whose life might be changed because you dare to stand up and say, I'm not giving up my seat today. I'm not giving up my faith. I'm not giving up my fight. Hallelujah. I'm going to believe in who, stand on him and who I have believed in and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Have you committed anything to the Lord today? Hallelujah. Then let him handle it and let him take care of that. Hallelujah. How many know he can only take what we commit to him? And what we find sometimes, it's a tug of war. We give it and then we take it back. And we give it and then we take it back. And we give it, we take it back. And really what we need to do is say, Lord, I trust you. Hallelujah. How many know to start complaining means to stop believing? To start worrying means to stop trusting. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you can only have one vein of thought in your mind at the same time, constructively. I say constructively because sometimes it just feels like my brain's firing on every direction. You know what I mean? I'm talking to this side and that side and this side and that side. But how many, when we really focus on what is true of us and what is true of what the scripture says, and our focus truly is on heavenly places and what Christ's word and his promise to us is, it is yes and amen. And so we stand on that and we believe that and we don't let it unsettle us. Our circumstances do not change God's posture. And God does not change God's view of us or God's opinion of you. Aren't you glad for that today? Hallelujah. He knows all about me and he loves me anyway. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes the more we know about people, the less we trust or the less we like or less we want to be around them? Aren't you glad that Jesus said, I know all about you, but I love you anyway? When he encountered the woman in the well, he already knew her history. He knew it before he sat down on her well, but he said, I have a need to go to Samaria. I need to sit on her well today. Hallelujah. How many know he needs to have communication with you today? He wants to sit on your well today. He knows all about you, but loves you anyway. And he's ready for you to go back to your village and start a revolution. Amen? How many are ready to start a revolution in your village? Come on, somebody. Who's ready to start a revolution in your village? I'm talking about your home, your community, your town, your house, your job. Hallelujah. Because see what happens when people begin to see the change that's working in you. I can only tell you what I know. I can only tell you what I've encountered. I can only tell you the change of God that I've experienced it. But when you've experienced it, you can't take it away. Amen? Once you've experienced the power and the grace of God, you can't take that away from somebody. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for that. Somebody say, we're still standing. Hallelujah. We're still standing. You know, sometimes in circumstances we face, you know, we feel like, you know, we've talked over the last several weeks, we've talked about Ezra and Nehemiah and rebuilding some things. And I really felt like the Lord prophetically spoke to me back in July and said that God was about to rebuild some things that had been torn down. And those things that had been sacred to us that seemed like they have been lost, somebody's get a vision for restoration. Amen. And as I began to hear that, we skip sometimes a lot of the generations, and this one begat that one and all of those kind of things. But as I was listening to it on my tablet in the car, and it was reading to me, and I began to hear it say, and the sons of this one are coming back. and the sons of this one and the families of this one, they were coming back. What they were doing was coming out of Babylon in a place of bondage, and they were going back to rebuild their temple and their places of worship and their altars and those things that had been destroyed or torn down. How many know sometimes amongst us there are some things that get torn down and destroyed that somebody's got to get a vision to rebuild some things? Amen. And I heard the Lord prophetically say to me, the sons are coming back, the children are coming back. And he said, put your name in that genealogy. Put your name in that lineup and say the sons of Lisa or the daughters or whatever, the children of Lisa are coming back. The children of Shirley are coming back. The children of Jenny are coming back. You put your family and your generations, whether it's your children, it might be a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, it might be a neighbor, I don't care who it is, but we're going to start putting our names in there and say we're coming back. Hallelujah. And what happened is then as they began to get the vision, then they began to build towards something. And it said, while one worked, the other stood guard and stood and guarded their back. And how many know we did the demonstration up here where we had some, how many know sometimes you got to work through some things? Amen. Not just working, but working through some things. And so while we had some people up here working through some things, we had some people standing here guard on them and covering them. Because when your back is turned, how many know you're vulnerable? You can get hit blindsided sometimes with things. Anybody got hit with some things, blindsided you some things? You say, I don't know where that came from. I didn't see that one coming. Hallelujah. And so they stood and they stood guard over them so that while some worked, some stood with their weapons and in defense of those and prayed over them and stood guard over them until they were able to accomplish the task at hand. How many know we need each other? We need the power of prayer. We need support from one another that we can stand with each other while some are working through some things. Somebody can pray and say, I got your back. Aren't you glad for that? Yes, hallelujah. And so they began to build, and the scripture says, and God strengthened their hands, and the people had a mind to work. They began to see the vision. And when they began to see the vision, they began to put their hand to the plow, and they began to give of their resources to it, and they began to give of their time and their energy and their effort. How many know what we believe in, we will put our time, talent, and treasure into? Yes. Amen? Hallelujah. It is a pleasure and honor for me to give and to sow seed to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. If you want to find an investment system, don't look at Wall Street. Amen. You might get a little bit discouraged, but I found a better investment. Hallelujah. I've been investing in the kingdom of God. It's because the scripture says that the kingdom belongs to him, and of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. How many are glad that he's got the government on his shoulders this morning? Hallelujah. And that my hope is in him. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I want to go to Ephesians first, I believe, if Carlin will bring that one up. And I want to just talk about standing a little bit this morning. Amen. How many know there's some postures for standing? There's postures for standing. And as I was thinking about this morning, even as I was standing here, we talked a little bit last week about, we had, I believe it was week before last, I guess, we had Sam and we had Monty come up, and I did a demonstration with them of Moses and Aaron and Hur on the top of the mountain, and how they began to hold up the arms of Moses, because the scripture said as long as Moses' hands were raised, they had the victory down in the valley. But when he began to get weary, or he began to get weak, or he began to get tired, the Lord connected him to an Aaron and a Hur who held up his arms. But it wasn't just a posture where they stood there and held up his arms like that, because his arms would get tired by standing there. But we showed you the posture of them leaning against each other. And as Monty leaned against Sam and Sam leaned against Monty, I mean, it gives us a picture of a mercy seat that sat on the Ark of the Covenant. And also we understand that as we lean against each other, there's more strength in us than there is by standing alone. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like if you lean against me and I lean against you, there's more strength in me standing and hold my arm up by myself. How many are glad for the Aaron and the Her in your life that will stand and lift your hands when you're weary or weak or tired? Hallelujah. And so they stood in a posture where they could support each other, and then Moses could reach up and grab a hold of their support system, and he could receive strength and rest in that. How many know sometimes when you're going to make a solid stand, you got to get your foot planted. You got to get those feet solid and stand in a stance of strength so that you're not pushed over easily or wiped out easily whenever the winds begin to come your direction. Ephesians 6 and 11, this is a real familiar scripture. It says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can you go on to a ways? Yeah, go on a ways with me if you can. So this is it's talking about the armor of Christ. How many know he's telling them to put on the armor? Now, all of you this morning, I hope, came in with the armor of God on. Now, I didn't hear it clanging when you come through the door. How many know it's not made of steel or tin or metal? Because when he begins to talk about putting on the armor of God, you can visualize yourself like that, like a warrior or like a fighter. But really what he puts on is, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How many know the hardest battles that we fight are the ones we fight in our mind? Hallelujah. And probably most of the time, our worst enemy is our self. We're the most self-critical, the most self-condemning, the most, sometimes we are harder on ourselves than other people are, or we are on other people. Amen? And sometimes the hardest battles we fight are in our mind, because that's where we war against our faith. That's where we war against our hope. That's where we war against the promises of God. Hallelujah. And so sometimes things will come your way, and it causes you, as Pastor Shirley said, to want to give up your seat or lose focus of the heavenly places. Hallelujah. Or thinking high. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. The psalmist was talking to his mind, the high places. He said, soul, just go ahead and bless the Lord through this. Go ahead and sing his praises through this. Take your focus off of your troubles. Take your focus off of your weakness and put your focus on him. Hallelujah, because that is our wrestling place. Hallelujah. Do you have 13? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all done all to stand. Stand, therefore. Now, we quote this scripture a lot, and we say, having done all to stand, just stand. You know, just plant your feet and just stand. But that's only part of what the scripture says. He goes on to tell us how we stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Hallelujah. How many know your loins have got to know what's true about you? What is true about you? You've been born again. You are the righteousness in God in Christ Jesus. You are the head and not the tail. You are the salt. You are the light. You are more than a conqueror. I mean, all of those things are true of you, having your loins girt about with true, and the loins are your reproductive area. Amen? How many know what you need to be reproducing in others is truth? Speaking the truth in love, that you can know the truth, and the truth will make you free, set you free. Hallelujah. So having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Somebody tell me what the breastplate covers. Your heart, your breastplate, your breast. I mean, it protects your heart, your lungs, the most vital organs of your body are under your breastplate. Amen? And it says, having on the breastplate of righteousness. How many know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ? How many of you are righteous in here this morning? We're getting better at that. I mean, it's hard to raise your hand sometimes and say, I'm righteous. Because we start saying, well, I don't know. And we start thinking in another realm. We start thinking about the things that are wrong about us instead of the things that are right about us. We start thinking about the things that are false about us instead of the things that are true about us.
The breastplate, I never really thought of it before until just now. But the breast is also you have a child, it's where you draw nourishment. It's what you're feeding on. Protect what you're feeding on. Feed on the good things. You know, whithersoever thing is good, honest, and pure, think on these things. But, you know, that's where we nourish our children. And so that needs to be, not only when you're nourishing them, not only are you worrying about what they're getting, but you worry about everything you put in you, because you want it to all be healthy, good stuff, so that that nourishment is as rich and as good as it can be to make them strong.
That's also what we feed from. That's what we nurse from. Hallelujah. And what we feed others. Amen. How many know most of the time people already know what's wrong with them or what's wrong about them? They need to know what's right about them. If you really want to change somebody's perspective, change somebody's life, change somebody's circumstances, start telling them what's right about them, what's good about them, what is profitable about them, what is honorable about them. Hallelujah. You ever seen a little child that you can manipulate them in two ways? You can be angry and tell them everything they didn't do, or you can be positive with them and remind them of everything good they have done and challenge them. You know, we like to challenge the kids and say, now, doesn't it feel good to do something that is right and to get clipped up on the chart, you know, or you are just the best at washing dishes. That's what my mom's trick used to be. You do the best job washing the dishes. And I just love it when you wash the dishes. Hey, man, you know where I'm going with that one. Man, you're just the best one ever. And I'm just so proud of you when you do that, because you do just do the greatest job. How many know that goes a long way for people? And that works in our workplace, our community, our classrooms, our homes, our churches, and everywhere. Hallelujah. The most powerful tool you have is the power of affirmation. When you're trying to challenge somebody to do something good. See, when Jesus is on the mountain and he goes and when he's on the shore of Jordan with John the Baptist, and John says, I'm not even worthy to untie your shoes. Jesus said, go ahead, John, let's just do this so we can fulfill the scriptures. Hallelujah. And when they were joined together, that old covenant prophet and the new covenant prophet join hands on the shore of Galilee and bring heaven and earth together. The scripture says, and when John baptizes Jesus and he goes down into the Jordan. How many know in the old covenant, when the waters of Jordan rolled back, it rolled back with a mercy seat and with a rod. But when Jesus, our heavenly mercy seat, steps into the waters of Jordan, not only does the waters receive him, but the heavens open. And the heavens say, and his father, his daddy God says, that's my son in whom I am well pleased. How many know the power, affirmation of a father or a parent will always empower a son to do more? And it's right after that that Jesus goes into the wilderness. And when he goes into the wilderness, the devil starts to say to him, if you are who you say you are, if you be the son of God, go ahead and turn these stones. He starts challenging what? His identity. If you be the son of God, if you are who you say you are. How many know a lot of times that's how the enemy challenges us in our mind? If you are who you say you are, put up or shut up. Amen? And he challenges him in that way. But here Jesus is thinking, you must not have heard what the heavens just had to say about me, because Papa God just said, that's my son and I'm proud of him. And that my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Hadn't even done his first miracle. Hadn't turned any water into wine. Hadn't opened any blind eyes. Hadn't made any crippled legs walk. But Father God, Papa God says, that's my son and I'm proud of him. I'm well pleased in him. How many know that will propel you to do what the Father has commissioned you to do? Hallelujah. So the power of affirmation, knowing that you are the righteousness of God, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hallelujah. How many know the gospel, if it's the true gospel, it's a gospel of peace? We hear a whole lot of people, especially this month, preaching a gospel that's not a gospel of peace. It's a gospel of the end time. It's the end of the world and doom and despair and gloom and despair and all of that kind of stuff. How many know he has shod our feet with the preparation of a gospel of peace? And the scripture says, how lovely on the mountain are the feet of them that bring what? Good news. Hallelujah. Announcing peace and proclaiming our God reigns. Hallelujah. I mean, no, he has given a message and a gospel of good news. I got good news for you this morning. He was crucified, died, buried, quickened, raised, and seated. And just as he was crucified, died, buried, quickened, raised, and seated, so are you. And you are seated with him in heavenly places. How many know we partook of his body this morning in communion? That was an outward sign of an inward work. Hallelujah. That bread and that juice is not going to save you this morning, but it's a symbolic of the power of resurrection life that lives and dwells inside of you. And we operate out of a realm, not of this earthly thing, but we operate out of a realm of what Christ has already done and already finished for us. Hallelujah. And he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Hallelujah. How many know the shield protects you for what gets thrown at you? Hallelujah. It's your faith that keeps you strong. Take the helmet of salvation. The helmet goes on your head, your mind, your thinking, your thought process. How many know you need to know you've been saved? You need to know he loves you. You need to know you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That old things have passed away. How many know passed away means if somebody passed away, they passed away. They're not there anymore. You might have some remembrance of that, but it's not there anymore. How many know we need to live in a realm that we know our old man, our old creature is passed away. And I might have some remembrance of that, but it has no effect in my life as a new creature in Christ Jesus because it has passed away. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit. How many know the sword of the Word of God? The power of knowing what the Word says is true of you. You can only take to the bank what has been deposited. You can only spend in the bank what's been deposited in your account. You understand that? If I go into the bank and say, I want to take out $10,000 on Monday morning, they're going to go to my account and see if there has been a deposit made of $10,000. And they're not going to give me that on Monday morning because it hadn't been deposited in there. Come on, somebody. I cannot draw on a resource that I have not had deposited in me. We talk about, you know, knowing the word and understand what the scripture says. The most powerful thing you can do is the psalmist says, I will hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I'm going to fill my heart and my mind and my life and my being so full of his word that when I am tempted to think anything other than what's true of me, I know what the word says. And I can pull from resources, and I can pull from scriptures, and I can pull from a sermon. I can put a CD on. I can get a worship song in my head, and all of a sudden, I start to change my thought pattern. I start to change my stinking thinking. All of a sudden, I say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. How did I get here? I told you the other Sunday that Georgia had gone around all day one day saying, nothing is impossible. Strongholds are broken. I can do anything. Through you, I can do anything. And she's singing that song, and she's singing that song. I mean, singing that song. You know how you get a commercial stuck in your head, and it does not go away. It, like, plays over and over. Maybe you all don't do that, but I'll get them songs stuck in my head. And Dan and I have this agreement. If you get a song stuck in your head, don't tell me what it is. Because I don't want to know, because it's going to be stuck in my head, thank you, Jesus. So we have an agreement. He'll say, I've had this song stuck in my head all day. I said, don't tell me what it is. So she's got this song stuck in her head, and all of a sudden it occurs to me when I'm on the lawnmower mowing that baby has been singing to me all day everything that I need to know, that nothing is impossible with my God, and strongholds right here, right now are being broken. Hallelujah. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. So jump on my chest and wrinkle my vest, because I'd already remembered who I am and what the word says is true of me. And that's what I choose to walk in today. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, because sometimes I don't always think the way I need to think. Sometimes I forget and I take my focus from a higher place and my emotions get stirred in that pot. And then I got to figure out how to get myself back out of that place. I'm just being honest with you this morning. And I got to remind myself and encourage myself and say, if you're going to preach it, you're going to have to live it. And if you believed it last Sunday, it's still true this Sunday. And if you believed it last year, it's still the same today. He's still the same God that delivered before. He's the same God that's going to deliver, because he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. And so I began to speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And if I can't pull myself out of it, I find me a friend. I get me a neighbor. I call a family member. I get a fellow parishioner. I find somebody who got some power of prayer and say, I need some reinforcements today. I need an Aaron. I need a her. I need somebody to lift up my hands today. Hallelujah. Because how many know sometimes the warrior is a child? Sometimes there's the dent in the armor. There was a scripture about David when he had kind of wanted to alliance himself with the Philistines. And it wasn't the will of God to do that. And he was going to ally himself against Saul. And while they were out considering that, the enemy came in and ravaged the camp where they were and had taken hostage some of their family. And the scripture says, but David, when he come back, realized that the enemy had snuck into his camp and had taken some things that didn't belong to them. And people were angry and people were upset. But the key to that scripture in 2 Samuel, I believe it is, says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. David came to himself and said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I remember the promise of God on my life. I remember when the prophet, the man of God, came to the house of my daddy and said, don't you have any more sons? Because there's a king in this house and I've not seen him yet. But I will not sit down and celebrate with you until I have anointed the man of God for the hour. Something about David thinks back to a day and said, the promise of God in my life is yes and amen, and I will not be distracted by what the enemy has brought my way. And the scripture says, and they went back to the enemy's camp and they took back what belonged to them. I don't know about you, but that thought has been in my mind a lot this week. I said, you know what, enemy? You have tried to steal people's minds. You have tried to steal their life. You have tried to steal their purpose. You have tried to steal their desire. But I proclaim what the Word of God says over their life is true. Hallelujah. When we talked about Ezra, it said the enemy came to frustrate their purpose. And I run into a whole lot of people that the enemy has frustrated their purpose and delayed the promise of God in their life. Do you know anybody like that? Because they've fallen into something that they thought they could handle, only to find out that they can't. Hallelujah. But they went. What they had to do was get rid of all the propaganda. The message said they started to trash talk them. They started speaking propaganda about them. They start saying, if a fox walks on this wall, it's going to fall down. How many know sometimes you got to get rid of the trash talk? You got to get rid of some propaganda. You got to quit letting other voices speak anything other than what's true of you in your life. And when they did, they began to build again. And they strengthened their hands. And the scripture says, and the people had a mind to work. How many of you got to have a mind change every now and then? Hallelujah. They say it's a woman's prerogative to change your mind. Thank God for that. I mean, we all need a change of mind. Do you know that's what the word repent means? To change your mind, to change your thinking, to change your direction. Anybody in here ever had to repent before? Amen. Hallelujah. Hopefully it's getting less often, because hopefully my focus is staying more true of what I know is right. Amen. Hallelujah. But sometimes we have to have change in our life. We have to change our mind, change our thinking. Hallelujah. Yep. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Is that the last one? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, well, it's got a comma there, but that's okay. That's as far as I need to go on it. But how many know he's talking about taking a stand, but it's more than just standing, but it's standing being equipped with the power of God, the weapons, the tools that God have given us for us to be strong in what he's called us to do and in his purpose. The Message Bible says in 13 through 18, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our prayer isn't, the scripture says, is an indispensable weapon of the power of God in our life. Hallelujah. I want to go over to Exodus chapter 14, and I'm not going to be much longer, but I just want to read that scripture to you. Exodus 14, and I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible, but you can read it out of whatever you have, your device. Hallelujah. If you want to put it in Message, you can, sure. One of the things preceding this scripture in Exodus chapter 14 is where they remember the promise that Joseph tells them, this is not your place of residence. How many know they're in bondage in Egypt? He said, this is not where you were meant to be. But when God begins to deliver you out of this land and takes you out of this land of Egypt, he said, carry my bones with you to the promised land. Somebody say this morning, I got good bones. How many know you got the DNA of some patriarchs and matriarchs that have gone on before you, and you carry good bones with you? Hallelujah. We got some good DNA in here today. Physically and spiritually. I'm thankful for some of the DNA I've inherited from my family. I said some of the DNA that I inherited from my family. Hallelujah. We got good bones. Amen. And you know, sometimes we inherit the good, the bad, the ugly, right? Hallelujah. And you go past that mirror and you think, you think you're that individual person all your own, and you pass by that mirror and all of a sudden your mama's face is right in that mirror. And you're thinking, where did she come from? I have now turned into my mother. And that's all right. That's all right. I got good bones. I got good DNA. Every now and then a little bit of pap pops out in me. Shows up in me. Every now and then. And I'm reminded I got good DNA. I got some good foundation. I got some good genetics. But greater than that, I have a heavenly father. And I have a brother named Jesus Christ the righteous. I got good bones. And I got DNA. That's how I know I'm going to get out of this place, this wilderness place that I'm in, because I got good bones. God spoke to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn around and make camp at Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. Camp on the shore of the sea opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are lost. They're confused. The wilderness has closed in on them. Then I'll make Pharaoh's heart stubborn again, and he'll chase after them, and I'll use Pharaoh and his army to put my God on display. Then the Egyptians will realize that I am God, and that's what happened. He tells them to camp out in a certain place. How many know they're literally between a mountain and the mouth of the river, the Red Sea? They are between a rock and a hard place. And so they are here camped down. He said, now I want you to camp there because I'm going to cause Pharaoh to think that they are trapped in. They're in a place where they cannot possibly get out of. And then his heart's going to be turned to pursue after them. But I'm going to make known my power not only to Pharaoh, but also to the Israelites. And when the king of Egypt was told that the people were gone, he and his servants changed their minds. They said, what have we done letting Israel, our slave labor, go free? So he had his chariots harnessed up and got his army together. He took 600 of his best chariots with the rest of the Egyptian chariots and their drivers coming along. God made Pharaoh, king of Egypt, stubborn, determined to chase the Israelites as they walk out on them without even looking back. The Egyptians gave chase and caught up with them where they had made camp by the sea. All Pharaoh's horse-drawn chariots and their riders, all his foot soldiers, there at Pi-Hahiroth opposite Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw them, Egyptians coming at them. They were totally afraid. They cried out in terror to God. They told Moses, weren't there cemeteries large enough in Egypt so that you had to take us out of here in the wilderness to die? I think this is going to kill me, is what they said. I don't think I'm going to live through this one. I think this is going to kill me. What have you done to us, taking us out of Egypt? Back in Egypt, didn't we tell you that this would happen? Didn't we tell you leave us alone here in Egypt? We're better off as slaves in Egypt than as corpses in the wilderness. How many know sometimes we get ourselves in a mentality of a place that say, we are comfortable here, leave us alone. We should have just stayed back there because I think what I'm going through right now is meant to kill me. But I got good news for you. Anybody ever needed God to part the Red Sea for you? How many know sometimes there is no going back? There's only going forward. But unless God parts the Red Sea, I don't know where it's going to go from here. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you this morning, there is no retreat. If you noticed in the scripture where we talked about the armor of God, the only part of the body that really wasn't covered was the back. As long as you're not in retreat, you're girded. Amen? The armor was in the front. How many know with God it is full steam ahead? There's nothing to go back to. There's no retreat. There's no backing up. Hallelujah. When you might be tempted to say it was better back there, God's about to do the miraculous in your life and open up some avenues for you. Is there anybody in here this morning that needs God to open an avenue for you? And it seems as if he needs to part the Red Sea. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God can do big things when we trust him. Hallelujah. Sometimes you feel like it might kill me before it happens. He said, weren't there any graves back in Egypt? Moses spoke to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm. Somebody say, we're still standing. And watch God do his work of salvation for you today. Take a good look at the Egyptians today, for you're never going to see them again. God will fight the battle for you, and you, listen to this, you keep your mouth shut. Pastor Shirley says it's so tempting to tell God what to do instead of waiting for God to tell you what he wants you to know. How many know most of the time when we don't keep our mouth shut, the confession of our mouth is not positive. It's negative. Amen. You got to move on it. When you know it's God, you got to move on it. Hallelujah. And he said, there's another scripture that says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. And, you know, the Lord spoke that to me one time, and he said, in Message Bible, before I knew there was a Message Bible, he said, shut up, earth. In other words, my earth, my flesh, this flesh man has to be silent and know that the Lord is in his holy temple. He's never lost control. He's not got worked up because I'm worked up. Hallelujah. He is in his holy temple. Let all the earth just be silent before him. He said, God's going to fight for you. And then King James says, hold your peace. In other words, just be silent. The Lord's going to fight for you and hold your peace. Pastor Shirley told us when I preached this back some time ago, hold on to your peace. I mean, sometimes you've got to hold on to your peace and just know that the Lord is going to fight for you. God said to Moses, why cry out to me? Speak to the Israelites. Order them to get moving. Hold your staff high. Stretch your hand out over the sea. Split the sea. The Israelites will walk through the sea on dry ground. Meanwhile, I'll make sure the Egyptians keep up their stubborn chase. I'll use Pharaoh and his entire army, his chariots and horsemen, to put my glory on display so that the Egyptians and the bondage and that area of your life will realize that I am God. The angel of God that had been leading the camp of Israel now shifted and got behind them. Somebody say there's a shift. I feel a shift. Hallelujah. And the pillar of cloud that has been in front also shifted to the rear. The cloud was now between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. The cloud enshrouded one camp in darkness and flooded the other with light. The two camps didn't come near each other all night. Hallelujah. I love that because he said the angel of the Lord and the cloud that was before them shifted and went behind them. He's got your back. See, what happens sometimes, we look and we say, God, where are you? I don't see you in my circumstances. I don't see you working. I don't see what's happening. All I see is a Red Sea, and I don't see what's happening. Sometimes you got to realize there's been a shift, and he's got your rear guard. He's got your back. He's got you covered. And what he's done is put a hedge between you and the enemy that says this is as far as you go. Hallelujah. We've drawn a line in the sand, and it stops right here. Hallelujah. How many, God began to open the Red Sea and part the Red Sea, but only when Moses, he said, Moses, lift up your hands. Why are you asking me? Lift up your hands and part the sea. And when we begin to lift up our hands, our countenance changes. Our heart changes. Our direction changes. And all the time when we lift up our hands in praise and worship, what we do is change the atmosphere. We change our focus. And all of a sudden we say, you know what, Lord? It doesn't look like you got this. I don't see you working. But what I realize is you got the enemy cut off and you got my back. You got me covered. Hallelujah. And when we realize in faith, believing, and trust, knowing he's got us covered, all of a sudden the thing we thought could not happen begins to open up. And he parts this Red Sea on our behalf. Hallelujah. Anybody in here ever needed God to just move miraculously? It might be in finances. It might be in health issues. It might be in relationships. It might be in struggles you're having, internal, external, whatever it is. But I want to tell you, God has your back. God has you covered. And he said to them, stand still and see the salvation of God, and watch God work for you today. Hallelujah. We're still standing. Amen. We're still standing. You're more powerful when you're on your feet. Amen. The other scripture says we've been knocked down, but we're not knocked out. We might have took a tumble. We might have got knocked down, but we're not knocked out. Hallelujah. I can look back over seasons of my life, areas of my life, times of my life where I've seen God move, and I thought, I have no idea how this is going to work out. I have no idea how God is going to bring this to pass. I have no idea how God is going to make this happen, only in hindsight to look back and say, you are Jehovah sneaky. You are just Jehovah sneaky. You just slip in and dork your tapestry, and the hand of the Almighty is working in my life when I don't even see it sometimes. And I say, wow, God, I see now how you have woven the tapestry of our lives with circumstances, people, places you placed us, where you've taken us to, and they become part of our history. They become part of his story. They become part of his grace in our life and our testimony that says, my God is faithful. My God is faithful. Can you stand to your feet this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's just rejoice in the faithfulness of God. Somebody rejoice in here this morning says, I'm still standing. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust God with every circumstance in my life, everything that seems like it's beyond my control, everything that seems like I've been closed in. Hallelujah. Go ahead, God, and show off and show your glory to your people. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you need special prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Hallelujah. If this speaks something to you, maybe for somebody else, just get that person in your mind this morning. And as we sing, begin to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And just claim that for them and believe them. For them. Hallelujah.
The mountains of the field.